Welcome you all on this platform. Alhamdulillah, today we are honored again with the blessings of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that a very renowned Islamic scholar and author, Hujjatul Islam, Dr. Muhammad Ali Shumali is with us. Inshallah, we will get benefited from his knowledge and wisdom. Just a quick reminder that inshallah, the floor will open for Q&A after completion of Dr. Shumali's talk. Bismillah.
Thank you very much. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد
صلى على محمد وآل محمد
وآله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الفهم اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علومك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين الحمد لله we have توفيق to have our third session on the book إنسان كامل or perfect man by late Ayatollah Mutahhari رضوان الله تعالى عليه. Also, we are commemorating these days martyrdom anniversary of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. According to some historical reports, Imam Zainul Abidin departed from this world on the 12th of Muharram, but there are also reports which says 25th of Muharram. And there are also other reports, but 12th and 25th are more famous. And also we know that like all other Imams, his departure was through martyrdom. مَا مِنَّا إِلَّا Maktulun or Masmumun. Something like this has been narrated that all Imams were killed either by sword or poison. So Walid ibn Abdul Malik, the Umarid Khalifa, killed with poison Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. We have many beautiful hadith and masterpieces of dua and munajat from Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. With respect to his hadith, I mention only Rasalatul Huquq, which is about different types of rights that we need to observe. Rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over us. Right of our own nafs over us, our own self over us. Right of tongue, right of salat, right of sadaqah, right of teacher, right of people, right of woman or women. Mothers, father, children, brother, servant, a companion that we have, neighbors, people who ask for loan, even enemy, what right they have. Someone who makes us happy, what rights they have. And someone who does bad, and people of them. So he has a list of different categories of rights that we need to observe. This is just one of his hadiths that we have in the form of this Risala. We have du'as like Du'a Abu Hamza Thumali, masterpieces from Imam Zainul Abidin. We have Ziyarat Aminullah from him. We have Sahifiyya Sajjadiyya as one of the collections made later of some of the du'as of Imam Zainul Abidin. So we are very much indebted to him because of all his life, all his leadership, all his teaching, and all the things that he taught us that help us in our relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with ourselves and with people. I pray that we will be able to follow him with all our power, with all our understanding, wholeheartedly, inshallah, and benefit from his shafa, inshallah. With respect to the book Insan Kamil, we reached the part about the need for harmony and balance in human development or growth. Ayatollah Mutahhari says, like a child, when a child is born, an infant, then all the different parts of body will grow till we have a well-grown up person. But this growth has to be in harmony. It's not that only, for example, hands grow or legs grow or a stomach grows. We are not saying that all should grow equally, the same percentage. For example, everything has to become twice or three times in size. No. But what is important is that it has to be comprehensive and in balance. Sometimes we see individuals or even societies grow in one aspect or two aspects and almost abandon other areas that we need to grow. We as human beings have lots of different potentials and we have to grow all of them. He says, if someone grows in all human potentials, human potential virtues, then they become insan kamil, or in the way that I explained the first session, become complete in their humanity. These people are those that we can consider them as imam. He refers to Prophet Ibrahim, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alihi salam. Prophet Ibrahim was tested and tried and examined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all different ways. Wa idh ibtala Ibrahim rabbuhu bi kalimat. These different trials means from different aspects he had to show his growth. If he had only developed two, three good qualities, he was not able to pass all of them. فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ He accomplished all of them. He passed all the tests. Then Allah said, قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا Such person can become imam for humanity. Also, Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he refers to Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam as someone who developed all different areas of growth for human beings. Inshallah, later we will have again discussion about this when we talk about the way all the virtues and values are highlighted in Nahjul Balagha, the life of Amirul Mu'mineen. In order to have a more specific discussion, he mentions few virtues or few values that are very important by themselves. They have received great emphasis in Islam, but unfortunately, sometimes people exaggerated about them, or some societies or groups or parties exaggerated and have taken them out of measure. For example, ibadah, in its narrower sense, means acts of worship. Salat, dua, tahajjud, salatul layl, night prayer. Recitation, going to masjid, i'tikaf, ziyarah, going to graveyards. These acts of worship, the specific acts of worship, because ibadah can be used in a broader sense to include anything that we do with the intention of pleasing Allah and seeking His nearness, even going to work, going to study, everything can be, even sleeping, even eating, drinking, all can be ibadah in its broader sense. But ibadah in its narrower sense is very, very important. And no one can have any understanding or description of Islam without ibadah in narrower sense. We certainly need that. It's not enough to do other things for the sake of Allah. You have also to do these things as well. We cannot bypass this by doing that. For example, lots of social work for the sake of Islam, for the sake of Allah. No, you need to also have salat, fasting, dua, recitation, for honest. But sometimes people are so much attracted to ibadah that they think Islam is only ibadah. First, they don't pay attention to the society. Then they don't pay attention to the community. Even they don't pay attention to family. They want to have a very segregated way of life. And in the history of Islam, we have, you know, some zuhad who chose ascetic life in this sense, by the way of isolation, segregation. But Islam doesn't accept this. Actually, during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, this phenomenon emerged, and the Prophet opposed that. We have this also in the life of Amir al-Mu'minin, he opposed that. We have in the life of Imam Sadiq, he opposed that. That some Muslims, they thought Islam is to totally abandon dunya and just focus on their ibadah. For example, once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon receiving the news that some people are so much involved in ibadah that they don't pay attention to other aspects, he went to the masjid and it clear gesture of dissatisfaction. He said, "Ma ba'lu aqwam." He started with this. I said, "Miss, what is wrong with some people? What has happened to some people that they think?" I'm just giving you the general idea, not literally. That they think Islam is just about them. He said, "I, as your prophet, I'm not like this. I don't do ibadah all the night. I do also some sleeping. I take some rest the night. I spend time with my family. I don't fast every day. I break my fast. I eat some days. But why some people are fasting every day, for example, have left their family, etc. This is to go out of my sunnah." Another story that Ayatollah Mutahhari mentions here is about one of the sons of Amr As. You know Amr As. Amr As had two sons. One was called Muhammad, the other was called Abdullah. Ayatollah Mutahhari says Muhammad was similar to his father. He was a person who had interest in dunya and materialistic life. But the other son, Abdullah, was a person that was nice, much better. And whenever Amra'as was talking and consulting his sons, Abdullah was encouraging him to be, you know, not against Imam Ali alayhi salam. But the other one was saying, no, go towards Muawiyah. So once the Prophet received the news that Abdullah, the son of Amra'as, the one who was more spiritual, is all the nights keeping awake and worshipping, all the days fasting. So Rasulullah met him and said, I have received such report that all the nights you do about that, all the days you fast. He said, yes. Rasulullah said, but I'm not like this and I don't accept this. Leave this kind of habit. So we said, ibadah is very important part of Islam, and Islam cannot be described without ibadah. But esteem, ibadah is not the only thing that exists in Islam. And since ibadah has attractions and also is in a sense difficult, but in a sense easy, because it's easy if you don't do anything and just focus on ibadah. But Islam wants us to have ibadah as well as other aspects of Islam. Our responsibilities towards family, towards society, community, humanity. Lots of other things that if we manage to have them all together, we can have a kind of balance and comprehensive growth. The next thing that he mentions is serving people. Certainly in Islam, serving people is also very important. We have lots of hadiths from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Ahlul Bayt about helping others, about cooperation, about taking care of the needs of needy people through charity, etc. And they are rooted in the Quran, actually, and inspired by the Quran. So much we have in the Quran about zakat, about infaq, iqamatu salah wa ita'u zakah, many times come together. He refers to this ayah as an example, ayah 177 of Surah Baqarah. 177 of Surah Baqarah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين وآتى المال على حبه ذوي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل والسائلين وفي الرقاب. So bir, goodness and piety, it's not just a matter of where you turn your face towards east or west. Bir means to have faith, true faith, not just claiming in God, in the hereafter, in angels, in the book, in the prophets, and to give money for the sake of Allah, out of love for Allah, to kinship, orphans, needy, strangers, those who ask for help, etc. Ala hubbihi either means hubbillah or hubbilmad, means you give something that you love, or you give for the sake of Allah. Because Quran says, لَنْ تَنَالُوا الْبِرْ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You can never reach bir, goodness and piety, unless you give from what you love. So we have no doubt about this, like ibadah, that we have no doubt about importance of ibadah. Just the thing was that it shouldn't be the only thing that matters to us. So serving people is very important, but we cannot say Islam is just serving people. Sa'di, very famous poet, he has an expression. If taken literally, it may suggest something against what we said, but perhaps he didn't mean this, because if you consider other things and what he did in his life, it was not justice. But maybe for emphasis, you know, he said, "Ibadat bejuz khidmat khalq nist." Ibadah is nothing other than serving people. If taken literally, this is not accepted. Why you say ibadah is nothing other than serving people? So what about salat? What about fasting? Unless you mean that ibadah has different branches, and certainly serving people is a great branch of ibadah. Or something that I suggest that maybe we can say, if we do ibadah, even personal ibadah, even ibadah in narrower sense, it helps people. A mu'min who is balanced, not only his social work helps people, even his personal ibadah helps people. If you do your salat, if you do your tahajjud, your nawafil, your reflection, your muhasabatun nafs, whether people understand it or not, they benefit from this. When a mu'min recharges himself or herself with the light through ibadah, it would certainly help us, other people. So, ibadah cannot be reduced to serving people only in the way that normally it's understood. Ayatollah Mutahhari has here also a nice point. He says, what do you mean by serving people? Do you mean just feeding them? Feeding people who are hungry, or in Islam, even sometimes feeding people who are not hungry is important. You know, in Islam, we have recommendations for even eating together. When we say et'am ut'am, it's not always needy people. If there are needy people to be fed, of course, it has priority. But sometimes we invite friends and we eat together. In the mosque, in the centers, you know, it's very good that on occasion we eat together instead of just giving, you know, packed food to people to take home. It's better to eat together. It's a great practice. But if you feed people, despite its importance, you are just filling their stomach. And you are helping them with their animal life. Isn't it necessary that we also help people with giving them proper knowledge, with education, with tarbiyah, etc., with love, with support, moral support, etc., as well? Because human beings have different needs. They don't need just food or water. So you need to also look after other needs that they have. So what do you mean by ibadah is only serving people? What type of service to people? Only giving them food and water and meeting their physical needs, or something more? Sorry, just a moment, someone is knocking the door.
Thank you.
So he says, what do you mean by serving people? That is very important. If we want to have proper approach, we need to have our own ibadah, our own personal growth, spirituality, but also part of it is through social interactions, including charity work and helping people. The third thing is freedom. Azadi, or in Arabic we say hurriya. Freedom again is very important, to the extent that Ayatollah Mutahhari says it's one of the greatest and highest values of human beings. And he says it is part of our humanity. He says it's part of ma'naviyat insan. And then there is put on this. This is that part of humanity which is above animal level. Of course, there are lots of discussions, you know, what we mean by freedom. But in general, philosophical freedom that we have in the form of having free choice, and also social freedom in the sense that no one should impose on you their ideas, their way of life, and deprive you of freedom of expression, etc. So, freedom is very important. But we should not think Islam is only freedom. Humanity is only seeking freedom. No. It is important, but it's not the only thing. Ayatollah Mutahhari, to highlight the significance of freedom, especially inner freedom, which is also very important. Unfortunately, this aspect of freedom is sometimes neglected, to be free from your own whims and demands of nafs, which normally, if you are not free from them, other people use them to enslave you. How people who have money or power manage to have people work for them and serve them. Normally they use their weaknesses. Sometimes they have physical needs. Sometimes, no, maybe they don't have physical needs, or they can, you know, find other ways. But by bribing them, by giving them, you know, good food, good salary, good position, etc., power, they try to bring them under their own control. Ibn Sina, or Bu Ali Sina, or in English we say Avicenna, was a very special, exceptional, without exaggeration, we can say exceptional scholar. He was very comprehensive in his knowledge and also very deep. Ayatollah Mutahhari says, unfortunately, he accepted at some point, or maybe he was, I don't know, pressurized anyway, to become wazir, like prime minister, for part of his life. And he says, Mullah Sadra many times regrets that why Ibn Sina accepted this, because if he had focused only on his, you know, his research and writing and scholarship, he would have received more from him. So, when he was wazir or minister or prime minister, one day he was walking and passed by a person that we call kannas. Kannas are people who clean wells, especially, you know, drainage, and, you know, like, for example, for the toilets, etc. They have to clean and, you know, bring out the drainage, etc. So it's not a very nice or favorite job. Ibn Sina, passing by this person, heard that he is reading this poem. Gerami dashtam ey nafs az anat ke asan bugzarad bar dil jahanat. He was saying to himself, my soul, I have honored you in order to make ignoring dunya easier for you. In order to stop you being attached to dunya, I have honored you. Ibn Sina smiled and said, yes, you have really honored your nafs by doing such a job. Such a like dirty, you know, things. It is said, you know, Abdul Muttalib's reports here. This man said something in response, which made Ibn Sina embarrassed and quickly passed. He said, در عالم همت نان از شغل خسیس خوردن به که بار منت رئیس خوردن. He says, in the world of ambitions, it's better that if you have a lower job, but you are free, than being under a head, under a boss who needs to be always, you know, I don't know, flattered, or, you know, you have to keep pleasing him and do whatever he wants, and he would, you know, oblige you that I have done this for you, that for you. So basically, he wanted to say that I prefer to do what I am doing because I don't need to please anyone in order to make my living. You have to work for the king, and you have to do whatever the king says. And also, you have to always be worried, you know, whether the king is, you know, happy with you, not happy with you, going to dismiss you or not dismiss you. So this is why I say I have honored my nafs. So this kind of inner freedom is very important. But whether it is inner freedom or social freedom, etc., you cannot say Islam is only freedom. And everything that we need to do is just to call for freedom. No, this is one aspect, but there are other aspects. After ibadah and after talking about, you know, service to people and freedom, the next one is love or ishq. Ishq is also very important, even to the extent that in hadith it says haluddinu illa al-hubb, is relevant anything other than love. Love is very important. But unfortunately, some people have tried to reduce religion to love, as if there is nothing there other than love. Even to the extent that sometimes they have undermined aql. He refers to some of the points about this. For example, the fact that Hafiz, you know, highlights, you know, love, etc., and even to the extent that fights somehow against aql. Ey ke az daftar aql ayat ishq amuzi, tarsam in nokte be tahqiq natani danist. Oh, the one that wants to learn love from the notebook of Aql. I am worried that you may not be able to understand this properly, to understand love by reading the notebook of Aql. He says, it seems that Hafez is referring to Ibn Sina, because Ibn Sina, as a Mashai philosopher, was very much interested in intellectual methodology. But in Namatatasa, the ninth section of Isharat, he talks about Maqamatul Arifin. So it seems that Hafez is telling Ibn Sina that you cannot understand love through Aql. It's more than that. In any case, this is not our topic right now, but we have such tendency that some people try to say everything is just love. And also, for understanding, they question Aql. Not that Aql is not enough. We have other ways of understanding, in the sense that they say Aql may lead to wrong conclusions, which we don't accept. Of course, we say Aql is a hujja of Allah. So, if we want to have a balanced and comprehensive growth, we need to have a body, we need to serve people, we need to work for freedom, we need to develop love, al-hubb fi Allah, wal-bughd fi Allah. These are all there. But all of them, not just one or two of these things. And then he refers to Nahjul Balagha. Nahjul Balagha, which is not a collection of all sayings of Amir al-Mu'minin, just some of them. Sayyid Radi, Rizwanullah ta'ala alayhi, compiled some of the sayings of Amir al-Mu'minin, even some of the sermons, maybe not in context, maybe part of it. Before Sayyid Razi, about 100 years ago, before Sayyid Razi, Ibn Mas'ud, historian, who has compiled the famous book Muruj al-Dhahab, he says that in the year 333 that I am writing this, there are about 480 sermons of Ali alayhi salam in the hands of people, is available. Maybe in the books they could find more, but what is in the hands of people, 480 sermons. But in Nahjul Balagha, we have about 229 khutbah. So you see, Sayyid Razi didn't have all the sayings of Amir al-Mu'minin together. It's selected, especially from the perspective of eloquence and balagha. But it's a good sample, it's a good collection. When we study Nahjul Balagha, we see that in Nahjul Balagha, Amir al-Mu'minin talks sometimes as a person who is very interested in ibadah. Sometimes as someone is very interested in charity and social work, something about freedom. You see all aspects of human values and virtues are present in very strong way in Nahjul Balagha. Because Amir al-Mu'minin is a true student of Quran and the Prophet, and practice this. So this is reflected in his sayings. Sometimes people only refer to those parts of Nahj al-Balagha which are about maw'izah and moral advice about not being attached to dunya. But that's not the only thing, although that is very important. Sometimes people only talk about that part which is against poverty and injustice, etc. It's very important, but not only. It has all. One of the very beautiful things that Amir al-Mu'mineen has is his letter to Malik Ashtar. And in particular, Akramat Ali mentions just one sentence, which is very important and inspiring. قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله يقول في غير موطن. I heard more than once Rasulullah saying, لن تقدس أمة لا يؤخذ للضعيف فيها حقه من القوي غير متعته. No nation would be sanctified, means would be in a position to praise and accept, unless those who are weak, their rights can be taken from those who are powerful without any hesitation, without, you know, being not able to speak fluently. And you know, sometimes you're afraid of being prosecuted or, you know, tortured, etc. Either you keep silent, or if you speak, you are worried you cannot speak, you know, fluently. Islam says that rights of weak people should be demanded from the strong people without hesitation. So you see, Amir al-Mu'mineen is not just talking about ibadah. He's not talking only about zuhd. He has all these things together. And during his life also the same. In the night, he is doing ibadah, but of course it has some rest. He has also family, but he has ibadah as if he is a person only doing ibadah. But it's interesting, during the day he's also very active. He's working. He's not just, you know, doing ibadah and relying on others, or, you know, distancing himself from social, you know, duties, etc. So in every area he's present and he's very active. And in every area of life he can be a role model for us. This is what we need to achieve when we talk about insan kamil. Inshallah, we continue this discussion بإذن الله after 2 weeks. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
JazakAllah, Agha.
Thank
Again,
you.
A very inspiring dars. Now the floor is open for Q&A. Just a quick reminder for the interest of all participants, our preference is that questions should be asked around the theme of the topic deliberations that is covered by Dr. Shamali. You as a participants may hit our raise hand option if want to pose a question. Inshallah, Dr. Shamali will address your questions.
Because I may not know who raised first, you know, if you could
I can
help me.
So the first question comes from Farhat.
Yes.
Ji, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, sister. How are you?
MashaAllah. MashaAllah. May Allah give you long life, healthy long life. You have given a very, very excellent and concise lecture. My question, I will be brief in this, my question. My question is regarding the fourth aspect, which you said is ishq, like love. Mm-hmm. So I have not understood, is it, ishq in what sense? The ishq of Allah, the Khaliq, creator, or is Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam asking us to refrain from ishq, like the ishq of worldly things or human beings, or is asking us, expecting us to engage in the ishq of our creator? I want some more explanation on the fourth aspect. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. May Allah bless you. Yes. What I mean, Ayatollah Mutahhari here is love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is mystical love. Mystical love is very important, but if it is misunderstood, can lead to isolation and even can lead to acting against aql. We need to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but through ma'rifah, through hikmah, and also we need to develop love for the sake of Allah. If I just say, I love Allah and I do ibadah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then I don't show love to people, this is not acceptable. Or if I do, for example, things for the sake of Allah, but not in a rational way, in a wise way. So love is very important, but has to be, again, taken with care in a comprehensive and balanced way. This is why in Islam we have great emphasis on not only hubbullah, al-hubbu fillah also, to love for the sake of Allah. If I don't show love to my children, to my family, to my friends, to my neighbors, to human, even to animals, I cannot say I'm a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So certainly we need to emphasize on love, but this love should not be taken, you know, out of context or out of measure, and we think that just to love Allah is enough.
Okay, Sister Laila, pose your question.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykhna.
Alaikum assalam, rahmatullah.
Thank you very much for a very
You're
good
welcome.
Lecture. My question was that in the beginning you said that as human beings, we should be developing all our potentials.
Yeah.
But we see in real life, I mean, as for Imam Ali, of course, he had those contrasting qualities, shujaat, as well as being very soft and loving towards orphans. Those kind of contrasting, but as normal human beings, do we have the potential to achieve all the qualities, or are we somewhat genetically inclined towards certain professions, certain qualities, something is more in someone and they can develop it more, and as a society we can kind of make up for each other's deficiencies?
Yes, very good question. We mean by developing all our potential, potentials for virtues, not potentials for skills. For example, I can learn to become a painter. I can learn other types of arts. I can learn, you know, different skills, different sports, endless list of different things that we can learn. I don't mean that we should develop all these potentials. What we mean is virtues, because all our virtues, human virtues, are in a sense a way to resemble Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ Allah has asba'ul husna. And we should try to develop all those things that are common between us and Allah as much as possible. Even, I don't say in the same percentage, but we cannot lack 100% some of the virtues, because normally if you lack also, you will develop the opposite, which is, you know, vice, which is razila. So I need to have some bravery at least. But I don't need to learn all the skills of, you know, fighting or self-defense, you know, because that is endless, but some bravery. Or I need to have wisdom. I need to have, for example, modesty. All the virtues that are there. And actually, this is also a discussion that maybe we can discuss separately. Actually, if we have a balanced approach to these virtues, inspired by Tawheed and servitude, then all these virtues naturally they grow. It's like a tree that naturally grows different branches and different, you know, leaves, etc. So we need to let our fitra, which is helping us to become resembling Allah, grow, but not necessarily all the skills, not necessarily learning all the different sciences, etc. Over skills and sciences, we need to prioritize. But when it comes to virtues, we need to try to have as much as possible.
Yes, next question from Brother Ammar.
Assalamu alaikum, Allah.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So my question was about the life of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. You talked about this in the beginning.
Yes.
So I had this question that we see that during the event of Karbala, after the day of Ashura, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam showed a very strong stance against the Yazid government. But later on, once he has returned to Medina, we do not see him taking part in like political activities. He did not take part in the uprising against Yazid, which happened in Medina. So at that time, it appears that maybe his focus is more towards the du'as and munajat. So how do we explain this difference? Or maybe I'm not understanding it right. Thanks.
Our imams, after the event of Karbala, they didn't ignore the politics, but they were very much aware of the requirements of the time. And certainly in the time of the Umayyads, there was no way to have a full-fledged uprising against injustice of Umayyads. But towards end of Umayyads, it seems that there was a hope. And it seems that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was waiting for a bright time. But unfortunately, by what some people did in rushing, like Abu Muslim Khurasani, etc., it seems that unfortunately that was put in the wrong direction, and it led to coming of Abbasids, which sometimes they were worse than Umarids, not better. So it's not that Imams ignored politics, but it's not that they are rushing, or you know, they call for, you know, uprising all the time, etc. No, they have a very clear strategy. When people are happy to support and something can be done with least of, you know, loss, and you know, with all the requirements which are there, then of course, they will try to bring justice to the society, but not always. And certainly this was not the thing which was possible in the time of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. So Imam alayhi salam kept a life of pumping hope in people. Because, you know, after what happened in Karbala could lead to depression, lead, you know, to despair, and people even losing their, you know, integrity, their, you know, identity. All this. Imam alayhi salam managed to keep the community of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam dignified, with hope, with love, and continue teaching and letting them carry on till a better opportunity would come for them having more rights, you know, to enjoy. It's very, very important what Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam did. And we are very much today benefiting from what he left for us compared, of course, to what we have not received must be maybe less, but at least what we have received as gifts of those years is great opportunity for us. And because Imam said these things in very, very difficult time, so no matter what difficulties you are in, you know that what he says is coming from a heart which is full of pain like you, actually more than you. So you don't think that this du'as, these munajats, this du'a Abu Hamza was said by someone who had everything from dunya. No, this is by a person who is deeply in suffering, in a very unpleasant world, surrounded by lots of difficulties, but still he thinks like this and he talks to Allah like this. So it's very inspiring for us.
Brother David, I noticed that you raised your hand, but it's not anymore there. Do you still have a question to pose?
Yes, inshallah. I would like to ask a question.
Go ahead.
Sheikh, assalamu alaikum
warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Thank you very much. Thank you for this amazing talk. I think you have highlighted a lot of relationships between the acts of worship, the abada, and also the qualities that we manifest as an individual in our dealing with people. And I was wondering if you would like to comment on how those things relate, not so much to the individual level, but the society-wide level. Are the qualities that you're talking about things that can be manifest as a culture and as a society, as well as individuals?
What do you mean? You mean how individuals can exhibit them in society, or you mean how societies themselves?
I mean, what is the relationship between the qualities that we are trying to foster as our individual Muslims, and should we be actively seeking to reform societies so that they manifest those same kinds of qualities?
Thank you. Right now, we are at the beginning of discussion about Insan Kamil, and Ayatollah Muhtar is trying to clarify some mistakes. But what is his model or his proposal of Insan Kamil would come later. For the time being, what we know is that we have such a thing that human beings can be healthy and unhealthy. Number two, human beings can be kamil or not kamil. And number three, that Insan Kamil has to develop all virtues or all potential virtues in a comprehensive and harmonious way. These are the three things that we have established so far. But then what is our model? Inshallah, we will see. There are different theories among Muslim scholars. But basically, in order to give you a quick answer, basically what is important is that a human being has individual and social aspects together. If you want a proper individual, it has to grow within a nice environment. I'm not saying it's impossible, but this is the normal and natural way. And therefore, if I want to take care of my own virtuous life and virtuous qualities, I need also to do it in a social context. I need to know how to connect to others, how to interact with them, how to, you know, benefit them and benefit from them. This is part of my personal growth. Therefore, in Islam, community life, family life, and personal life are very much interconnected. And we need to work on all these grounds in order to achieve perfection, which would be in a sentence would be a person who acts as a mirror for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your perfection or my perfection is that in my personal life, in my family life, in community life, in social life, in politics, in everything, to reflect the light of God, mercy of God, love of God, to ourselves and to others. Sometimes you see that the situation in certain areas is ready. In certain areas, you have to wait. There is a wall. This light, you know, cannot go beyond. But light is available. So we are not always doing politics, but if we can reflect light into politics, we are not hesitant. But it doesn't mean that we have to rush and in this process even forget our own, you know, light. So we need to have deep connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a strong considerations of what is happening around us, but never sacrifice our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anything else.
Well, the next is Brother Javad. Please raise your question.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Thanks for a very good. What we are, I mean, doing like a ibadah, and then moving towards the perfection and keeping away from this dunya, which is like we've been hated for by our imams and the prophet. How we bring that balance? I mean, it's quite challenging in so many ways that, okay, you do this, but don't do this. So I really would like to, if you have some points on that how to bring that balance. What's the limits?
If we have a, I think those who lack balance is sometimes because they don't understand Islam well, they don't have good descriptions or accounts of Islam, and sometimes it's because of negligence. Alhamdulillah, through our scholars, through our great scholarship that we have received, we have a comprehensive understanding or account of Islam. Number two, when it comes to your own alertness and not being, you know, negligent, this is what we are trying to do together. Tawasaw bil haq wa tawasaw bil sabr. We need to help each other, and maybe at some point I am ignoring some of my responsibilities or duties. You can remind me. Maybe you forget, I can help you and remind. We need to help each other, and our community must be, among other things, a place for helping each other in our journey. This is actually maybe one of the most important functions of community, that by receiving feedback from other people, you make sure that you don't lose the balance. This is very important.
And I cannot see any other raise hand. So it is about 10 minutes past an hour. Will you allow me to raise a question myself?
Bismillah.
So thanks very much that initially you have discussed about our fourth Imam, Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, and then you refer Risalatul Huquq. So I found that there is one thing which Imam is saying, the right of him who treats you kindly. So can you please unpack this?
Right of yourself, you mean?
The right of him who treats you kindly.
Right of the those who are, yes. So there are different rights. Unfortunately, some rights receive attention, but some rights don't receive attention. So if we want to make progress, again, we have to have comprehensive regard for the rights. So Imam, in this essay, in this Risala, tries to give us a comprehensive list. For example, with respect to the enemies, but also with respect to those who have been kind with you. Enemies try to harm you, so you have to know how to treat them. Also, there are people who have been kind with you. How should you know you treat them? Or people who give you good opinion, mushir, they give you, good advice. So you have to consider all these rights, whether people who have approached you from positive and kindness, which is most of the cases, or people who have approached you through negativity, or people who are just there and you need to observe them. So this is the general situation that Imam alayhi salam is teaching us. Even, for example, people that Allah has made you happy through them, Imam discusses. So I don't know if this answered your question.
Yes, okay, thanks very much. Asantum, so I think I'll just conclude it and make dua.
Yeah. In this day of Jummah, of course, maybe for some of you is night of Saturday, but for us is still morning of Jummah. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for faraj of Imam Zaman ajallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, and for enabling us to connect to him as our Lord and to our Imam as his vicegerent, and to mu'mineen and mu'minat all over the world, because our connection with Allah, with Imam, and with mu'mineen and mu'minat all over the world is part of our personal growth, which is very important. We pray for shifa for all people. We pray for rahma and maghfirah for all mu'mineen and mu'minat who have passed away, especially those who have rights upon us. We pray for our parents who are alive to be healthy, to be safe, to be comfortable, to live with dignity, and to be able to please them. And those who have passed away, we ask Allah to be very generous and kind with them. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all people who suffer because of wars and because of violence and because of terrorism, because of poverty and injustice. We pray that Allah would give them dignified and peaceful life, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. May Allah be with you and iltimas dua.
Asantum.
Asantum. Iman Allah. Iman Allah. Wada afis.